You to turn with me, please, if you will, to Matthew and chapter 2. Matthew and chapter 2 in the Church Bibles. It's on page 966. 966. Matthew chapter 2, starting to read at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's spend a moment or two again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the record in the scripture of Jesus' birth and all the various events surrounding it. Some of these stories we know so well, but we pray that you would impress your truths upon us once again this day, so that we might delight in them. The story of the wise men, in many ways, is a fascinating story. We don't know much about them, and we wonder how they could have known about Jesus and how the star related to him and how that he, the King of the Jews, had been born. But we marvel, Lord, at such a wonderful and accurate record. We thank you that all the prophecies of Scripture were so wonderfully fulfilled in him, to the letter. And we know that there are still many words of prophecy that are still to be fulfilled in him, and we can be confident that one day all your promises shall be fully realized. Lord, we want to commit our day to you. Some of us are going to be travelling, and we ask for safe travels on the roads. We pray that you will bless our times with friends and family, but we particularly pray for those within our church for whom this Christmas will be a difficult and perhaps sad and painful time. We ask that you would be to them all that they need and encourage them, particularly as they think upon the wonderful gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, it's on days such as this when we're reminded of the many things that we have. And so we want to, in prayer, turn our thoughts to the boys and girls in the war-torn areas of Syria. Some perhaps won't receive a Christmas present this year. A mum and dad may well feel guilty because they have been unable to provide them with anything. Oh Lord, what a sad and terrible situation. And we do ask that that war may come to an end, in order that towns and cities and lives may be rebuilt once again. We especially pray for Christian families in the city of Aleppo. And may they, at this time, when they have little and perhaps nothing, find great joy in their God, who has blessed them with countless riches in Christ Jesus. Perhaps those riches will become even more meaningful to them today because they have so little materially. Lord, we thank you for our health and strength that enables us to come into this place this morning. As we look upon your word in just a moment or two, we ask that you would speak to us and clearly. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing my Alidor or Charlotte. Can we have my first picture, please, up on the screen? Marmite. You're giving the responses that I hope that you would give. You see, you either love it or you hate it, don't you? I'm one of those people that can't stand the stuff. And if somebody's eating it beside me, I need to be at least that far away from them because I can't even stand the smell of the stuff. But some of you love it and some of you hate it. You're either for it or you're against it. There's no middle ground when it comes to Marmite. And I think it's a bit like that too when it comes to the Lord Jesus. You see, we're either for him or we're not for him. He's either our king or he's not our king. He's either our saviour or he is not our saviour. We can't sit on the fence as far as Jesus is concerned. And as we look just for a few moments at the story of the Magi this morning, we see that this is true as far as the two sort of key characters are concerned. Let me tell the story briefly. So the next picture shows the wise men, or the magi, or the kings, as we sometimes refer to them, making their way from the east, following the star, Jesus' star. Well, eventually they came to Jerusalem. And we've got a picture of them in Jerusalem. And they begin to ask the question there, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Well, Herod learned about them and the things that they were saying. And the Bible says that he was disturbed. He was anxious. He was troubled. Why? Because he was the king of the Jews. And he'd spent many months, years even, acquiring this position. Who was this one, supposedly born king of the Jews? What if he grew up? And all the Jews followed him and formed an army and tried to overthrow him. Well, that's something that he definitely didn't want. And so, He called the chief priests and the teachers of the law to him, as we can see in this picture, in order to inquire from them where this baby was supposed to be born. And they told him that the baby would be born in Bethlehem, for this is what the prophet had said. And so, as we can see in this picture, Herod called the wise men to himself. He did this secretly and found out from them the exact time that they had seen the star, and told them to go on to Bethlehem and to find the child. And then to report back to him, because he wanted to worship Jesus too. Well, that's what he said, but we know that he had no intention of doing that. His intention, of course, was to kill Jesus, to put him to death, to get rid of him, because he wasn't for him, he was against him. Well, the wise men went on their way following the star. The star stopped over the place where Jesus was. And in the next picture, we see them going into the house. No longer is Jesus, along with Mary and Joseph, in a stable. They're in a house somewhere. Jesus is a little bit older. That's why he doesn't look as if he's a tiny baby in this picture. And they bowed down and worshipped Jesus. And they presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to him. They were clearly for him and not against him. But an angel of the Lord warned them not to return to Herod and tell Herod where he was, but to return home by a different route. And that's exactly what they did. But here we are, and Herod is clearly against Jesus and wants to put Jesus to death because Jesus is a threat to him. Whereas the wise men didn't see Jesus as a threat. No, they were willing to travel a long journey, presumably over difficult and dangerous terrain, in order to worship him, to present their precious gifts to him. Now, I'm not suggesting this morning that anybody here is exactly like the wicked and murderous Herod. But what I do want to say this morning is this, that when it comes to this Jesus that we read about in the Bible, we can't sit on the fence. We can't be neutral concerning him. You see, we either believe him to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the King of his people, or we don't. We're either willing to worship him as Lord of all, giving the best to him that we can bring, or we are not. We're either willing to embrace him as our Saviour, the one who died and rose again so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God, or we are not. We're either willing to follow Jesus wherever he may lead us, or we are not. Do you get the point? That there's no sitting on the fence as far as Jesus is concerned. But the invitation is always the same, and I'm going to finish with this. The invitation is always to come to Jesus and to receive him as our Lord, our King, and as our Saviour. It's a wonderful thing when we do. Not only are we forgiven and found at peace with God, we're also welcomed into the greatest family of all. where there is infinite love and eternal security. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus. Let me finish by asking the question, are you for him or are you against him? Remember, we cannot be neutral. Jesus himself said, he who is not with me is against me. Oh, that we might be for the one who was born King of the Jews. Let's stand, shall we, and sing our final carol, number 365. 365. Look to the skies. There's a celebration. Lift up your heads. Join the angel song. Let's sing this one well, and let's finish on a really good note. Thank you, Jill. Indeed, we welcome you, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for our time together this morning, O Lord. We thank you for the lovely reminders of our Saviour's birth. And we pray now that you would go with us and that you would watch over us and that you would protect us and that you would be to us all that we need. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.